Andrew Bentley.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, everybody. I'm Andrew Bentley. I usually write things I do for this, but it seems like telling, like, drunk anecdotes kind of seems like the appropriate time to go off the cuff. You know, I'm not Kowski or Lowry or Hemingway anyway, so might as well kind of wing it. So I'll start off by explaining, I guess, that, like, my family has, like, a long and proud and storied history with drinking. Like, it's just something everybody in my family does. I remember at a very young age, my Uncle Fred, you know, getting drunk and setting off Roman candles, and only being, like, halfway through the Roman candle that he realized he had it pointed the wrong way, and he was firing it into his chest, shirtless. And this, by the way, is a man who builds planes for our government. So. But yeah, and there was responsibility. I mean, I don't want to, you know, spend Father's Day excoriating my dad's parenting or anything. But, you know, there was kind of like a game at family reunion. They'd get, like, a keg of beer and the keg of birch beer. And, you know, after a certain point, the adults would, you know, pretend that they couldn't see us, you know, sneaking up to the wrong keg or whatever. But basically, this is all a way of getting around to the fact that I started drinking before I hit college. And so I came into college with, you know, feeling like a badass, and a certain amount of ridiculous pride over the fact that I had never thrown up from drinking. I just absolutely proud of this. Unreasonably so. And I intended to keep that for as long as possible, forever, you know, hopefully at that point, which seems obviously incredibly dumb now. I did throw up early freshman year, but I didn't count it, because it was actually because I was taking deoxycycline, antibiotic, and you're not supposed to drink with that. But I was under 21, so the doctor didn't tell me. So I had one like Captain Morgan and cider or something, and then vomited all over my friend's bedspread. Yeah, that was the time. But I didn't count that. That was bullshit. Sawyer actually mentioned earlier thing I would do power hours. And the tradition, I guess, as he knows it, would start in my freshman year, towards the end of the year. And that was, you know, I would put together 60 songs, cut down 60 songs, a minute each, pair them each with a picture, and I would use pictures of people, everyone who was coming from out of town, power hour pictures since the last time we'd had a power hour, and it's kind of like a recap of what everyone had been up to. And every time the song changed, the picture changed, we'd go around the circle. Next person around the circle would raise a toast to something, you know, and we'd do the whole hour like that. And before it became that, it was just a thing we would do in my friend Rob's dorm room, because I went to a dry campus. So all drinking took place, you know, sequestered away outside of, you know, the view of any sort of authority figure. And we would do these power hours. I was good at making them, so it was kind of my responsibility. So normally, you know, I would do it over the course of a couple of days, but one day, my friends Rob and Steve come and be like, hey, we want to do a power hour tonight. And I was like, that's fine, I just skipped class, so I didn't go to class. And I spent the whole day, you know, had my priorities straight, making a power hour instead. But because I spent all day in front of this computer doing this, from the time I got up to the time I had the power hour, I did not have anything to eat. So, about halfway through this power hour, I vomited. Like, I ran to the bathroom, and I threw up, and everyone was like, oh, like, no one gave a shit. But I was devastated. Like, absolutely devastated. And I finished out the power hour, everything, and I slunk off in shame, like, upstairs, and I was talking to my friend, like, on, I guess I still use AIM at that point. Yeah, I was talking to my friend on AIM. And, you know, and getting myself more and more worked up about it. And then finally, I'm drunk. I decided the best way to handle this, to get my, you know, my respect back or whatever, was to go back and keep drinking harder than ever before. So, I grabbed the reserve handle of Aristocrat vodka I had stashed away. And I roll in, burst into Rob and Steve's room, and start drinking straight from the handle vodka. This goes about as well as you would expect. Perhaps a nastier, more unpredictable side of me came out at this point. I had a couple good friends, like Ryan and Brandon, and then we had a friend, Chris, who, I don't know what it was at the, like, you know, but at the time he was annoying us about, you know, something, like we didn't want to hang out with him right then, or whatever. And so I'm drinking, and I get maudlin, and so, you know, I end up like kind of like a three-way, like, dude hug, like, Brandon on one side and Ryan on the other. Like, oh, man, we're great. I love you guys or whatever. And Chris comes up to, he kind of walks up. He's got a goofy smile on his face. He's like, oh, he's going to join the hug. And I just scream, you're not welcome, and kick him in the nuts. And then I black out. I have not blacked out a lot in my life. I could, you know, kind of paradoxically remember all the times I've blacked out. I wake up on Rob's couch the next morning. Now, I learn later that I went on to, at, you know, certain, I kept drinking from the handle. At some point, my friend Ryan started making fun of me for being really drunk. Ryan... He's a friend of mine, but also had, you know, a way of provoking people. Normally, I would just, you know, grin and bear it, you know, like, laugh it off. Apparently, after a few minutes of this going on, I put down the handle, and I turned around and said, you're gonna act like a bitch, I'm gonna treat you like a bitch, and slapped him across the face. Ryan's reaction, I got this all secondhand, is like 20 seconds of just absolute shock that that's something that happened. Well, I pick up the handle and go back to drinking, and then he just starts wailing on my stomach, just punching the crap out of me. And my reaction to this, apparently, was to simply sit down on the sofa, still drinking, and just start cackling. Like... just lying back, getting punched in the stomach by my friend, pouring vodka down my throat, and just laughing like a madman. So, I have no memory of this, but I take this as gospel truth. But I woke up the next morning, like I said, and the very first thing I did was I kind of like looked around, I was like, okay, oh thank God, I didn't vomit. And then I look down and realize the entire left arm of my shirt is covered in vomit. And what's more, I was so ashamed of vomiting more, as my friend Rob informed me, that when I felt this coming on, my reaction was to slink away on all fours and crawl under Rob's desk like a sick cat and try and vomit there underneath the desk so nobody would notice. So I had a fair amount of apologizing to do in the morning. I have vomited many times since, perhaps not ever quite so dramatically. But I think that was good for me. I think that was, you know, a unnecessary part in kind of stripping some of the totemry away from drinking and all the ridiculous stuff we tie up in it, and realizing if you're not doing it to have a good time or, you know, for another decent reason, it's probably best if you don't do it at all. Thank you very much.
Can I say, Andrew, your story of trying not to vomit and then vomiting has kind of similar thematic implications to Aaron's story about trying to conquer that foe. I like that.